Barabbas or Jesus? Matthew, chapter 27, verses 20-26. Let us turn to a book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 20-26. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do, then, with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, Crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged, and handed him over to be crucified. Life gets determined depending on the choices we make. It is not exaggerating to say that our lives are a result of a continuing series of choices to choose from, every moment by moment. From an insignificant choice to choose from, such as what to eat and what to wear, and to who to choose as a spouse, what kind of career to go for and the like, such as these significant choices, countless choices are given to us and we repeatedly make choices in our lives. What to choose is completely up to us, but the result that follows from making that choice surely brings us responsibility afterwards. In the Bible, there are a lot of teachings regarding making choices. King Ahab, who was the seventh king in Israel, because he chose a wrong woman, the entire nation collapsed badly. His whole family was badly affected by it, and he himself also had an unfortunate ending. When their nation had a severe drought for 3 years and 6 months, Elijah gathered the people of Israel on Mount Carmel. He shouted to them, Make sure you choose your leader correctly. Baal or God? He clearly shouted to them not to sit in between Baal and God, and told them to choose one between the two. Joshua did the same, too. After conquering the land of Canaan, what Joshua did first of all was asking the people to make their choice. Whether they serve God only or serve the other God that people worship in Egypt, or serve other God that they used to serve in the barren land, Joshua asked people to choose who to serve. He said in Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I reckon that happiness and misfortune, goodness and evil one as well, results from our choices that we make. Adam and Eve, too, because they chose to try the fruit that God told them not to take in, their action became a reason for their misfortune. The choice that Nod made also became a reason of his failure. He merely looked at the land, which seemed so bountiful and plentiful in his eyes. He chose the land of Sodom because of its good looks. But this became a root cause of his misfortunate ending. Later God punished this land of Sodom. In our passage today, we can see that a choice affects the whole thing, not just our entire lives, but the lives of our next generations as well. There was a person who was given a choice to choose from. He was pressured and regarding Jesus, he made a wrong choice. He was Pilate. Despite his title and his role, even though he had to make a just judgment based on the fact, he decided to let a murderer Barabbas go free. Instead, he decided to put Jesus, who did not do anything wrong, on the cross. It was such a foolish choice he had made. As a result, he nailed Jesus on the cross. Whenever people say Apostles' Creed, the name Pilate gets mentioned by the lips of the Christians, but in a most ashamed, unlucky way. It looks like that his name will be known as the most ashamed and unlucky name till the Lord comes back. As we commemorate this time of Lent, I hope we will learn from the mistake that Pilate made. We should take his incorrect choice as a mirror, and whenever we are to make a choice, I hope you will make a wise choice. Pilate was pressured to respond to a wrong request by the people and he accepted their request. Verses 20-21 say, "But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' asked the governor. 'Barabbas,' they answered." People were controlled by the religious leaders at the time. Without clear reasons, people shouted to Pilate to let Barabbas go and kill Jesus. Who was Barabbas? He was a murderer. But at the time, there was a custom that in every festival season, people let a prisoner go free. Even though Pilate knew that Jesus had no sin, due to the loud yelling and shouting from the crowd, he felt pressured to let Barabbas go and allowed Jesus to be nailed on the cross. A person that allowed Jesus to be nailed on the cross was Pilate. Because a lot of people requested him, he decided to make a wrong decision. In verse 17, it says, "So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Christ?'" In verse 21, it says, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. Pilate asked the crowd twice, "Who do you want me to let go?" He knew that Jesus had not done anything wrong. But despite that fact, he did not make a just judgment, and to gain favor from the crowd, and to maintain his social status as a leader, he decided to do what the crowd requested him. It was such an unmanly conduct. He knew what he was doing was not right, but because the crowd wanted that, he chose a wrong path. How many times are we like this? We are also very similar. We face situations like this so many times in our lives and make terrible mistakes. But our passage also proves that what the majority claims are not always the right and correct claims. When the people of Israel traveled through the desert, they had no water and had no energy. When they were having such a hard time, people pleaded saying, "Let's go back to Egypt." They blamed on the leaders and yelled out loudly. If Moses had given these people options to choose from and asked them whether they should go back to Egypt or Canaan, if he had given people the options to choose on their own, all the people there would have said, "Egypt, Egypt." They all would have yelled at him like that. But Moses was not shaken by the yelling sounds of the people. He was not influenced by the majority of the people and he only trusted the promises of God, and he continued on his journey towards the land of Canaan. He moved forward. On his way, the descendants of Kohathites made groups and tried to lead the people in their own way. They made obstacles for Moses. When they did that, God divided the land and wiped them away and buried them in the ground. He burned the rest of them by fire. If people only looked at their situations and decided to go back to Egypt, then the people of Israel would have died in the desert forever. The Bible is not a result of having a humanistic approach by the majority, but it is a result of having a God-centered approach. Even all the citizens of the nation reject the idea and disagree. If God says go, then we need to go, and if God says stop, then we need to stop. The biblical decision is not about dictatorship or democracy. Strictly speaking, it is about taking a God-centered stance. Even the majority disagreed, when even only a small number of people agreed. When people made a decision from a viewpoint of God, God took care of them. During a time of early church, Chrysostom, who was famous for a lip of gold, a saint of the Eastern Orthodox Church, a religious father, once made a big decision at church. Everyone around him disagreed with him. His servant reported him that everyone disagreed with his decision. He said this famous saying to his servant, "If the entire world disagrees, then to stand on the side of God, we need to reject the entire world." What he said then became so famous later on. He only wanted to stand on the side of God. That is right. As a Christian, as a believer of Christ, to honor the will of God, we sometimes face times when we have to fight against the entire world. Almost all the believers would be put in situations where they have to stand on the side of the minority, not the majority. In these kinds of uneasy situations, to keep their faith, some people rather chose to become martyrs. If Pilate truly wanted to make a righteous judgment, even if the entire world pressured him to let murderer Barabbas go free, he should have clearly said no, and should have claimed that we should let Jesus, who is sinless, go free. He needed to do that. But as Pilate was pressured to make a wrong choice, due to the requests made by the majority, he made a wrong decision. In Exodus, chapter 23, verse 2 says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. When we are put in a situation where we need to make a choice, what are we like? Even we knew that we were not on the side of God, were we influenced by the majority? Were we led by others? Did we not make a wrong choice? Did we not sit on the seats where we should not have sat on, and did we not stand on the place where we should not have stood on? As a believer, we should not choose to stand on the side of the majority, but we should choose to do what is right and correct. This is faith. But Pilate made a wrong choice, which was far from being legally right and principally incorrect. Verses 22 to 23 say, "What shall I do, then, with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Pilate was a leader who had no idea about history. At the time of making judgment, Pilate was not interested in distinguishing what is true, wrong, righteous and evil. He had no idea about history. History is what we will leave behind for our descendants in the future. It is an inheritance. Our footprints will remain in history. But Pilate had no idea about this, and he was only focused on the reality. If we look at verse 19, we can see that from the dream that his wife had, he learnt that Jesus had no sin. Verse 23 says, "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." He knew well that he could not find anything guilty in Jesus, as he was far from sinning. But for his social status, and for political peace, he ignored the law, principle and history. He made a foolish and crafty decision. He was an unfortunate leader, who had no idea about history. When we make choices, we need to have a few standards and criteria. First of all, we need to make a choice from a side of God. Rather than having our humanistic thoughts, we need to think of God first of all, and rather than calculating the benefits, we need to think of faith first of all. When we set the criteria based on the values of God, the results will be favorable. We can see that Paul showed his firm faith to the people of the Church of Galatia. In Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men, or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Paul had clear criteria in making choice. In the Bible, a woman like Esther was like that. In front of God, to save her people, she risked her life. When she was on the throne as a queen, she did not enjoy her status by herself. For the Jews, she put her whole life, fasted and prayed for 3 days, and she saved her people at last. It was a choice made on the side of God. We need to choose to live well together in unity, not just for our own benefit. If we cause pain for others for our benefit, if we harm others, if we make others to shed tears and blood, then that choice is a wrong one. For example, let's say that if we sell and buy humans in order to earn money, or if we sell and buy drugs to cause others to be ill, then it is wrong. No one should do that. For me to have a rich and easy life, and to do that, if we cause our society to become polluted, if we cause people to be sick, then the possessions and the titles are not a blessing but a wrong choice. In the US, the family of Kennedy is quite well known. But so many unfortunate things happened in this family. The grandfather of the President Kennedy ran a brewing business. He earned so much money from this. But this destroyed so many lives, so many families in the U.S. This helped a number of the alcoholics to increase. Continuously, unfortunate things happened in Kennedy's family. When Kennedy was a president, Bible teaching at school was stopped. Crosses on the wall were taken down. President Kennedy was assassinated at the age of 39. His uncle was assassinated at the age of 46. His eldest brother Joseph Kennedy was killed in an aircraft accident at the age of 29. Unfortunate happenings in the Kennedy family did not end here. President Kennedy's sister Kathleen Kennedy was killed in an aircraft accident at the age of 28. His youngest brother Ted Kennedy also was in an aircraft accident and had incurable spinal injuries. Also, David Kennedy died of drug addiction, Michael Kennedy died on the skiing field at the age of 39. And 3 months before President Kennedy's assassination, his first son was born. But in 2 days after the birth, his son died. The only son left in the Kennedy family, John F. Kennedy the Jr., was also killed in an aircraft accident at the age of 39. The Kennedy family line ended like this. This is extremely unfortunate to regard it as a mere coincidence. The father of the President Kennedy confessed that our family has been punished by God. A lot of families were destroyed due to my brewing business, and I also caused a lot of people to become alcoholics. I made people to be useless and wrecked. I am being punished for this. That is right. We need to make a choice, which helps me and ourselves as well as our society to become better. Whatever we do, core principles and the criteria need to be clear. If these are unclear, then we would lose our directions, we would wander aimlessly, and our views would be unclear and would be collapsed. Pilate, that we saw in our passage today, made a choice which was far from the set criteria and core principles. Right now, the name Pilate gets mentioned in Apostles' Creed as a name which is the most disgraceful and embarrassing one. Not only in front of God, but in the entire history, and forever, his name will be remembered that way. When you are put in a situation where you need to make a choice, I hope you will make a decision which is clearly right and correct, according to the criteria and core principles. In addition, Pilate made a choice which acted against his conscience. Verse 24 says, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. Pilate caused Jesus to die on the cross. He was afraid of the crowd, and as he washed his hands, he was accused for the price of the blood of Jesus. He denied about the responsibility he had in this and passed the guilt on to others. He denied his responsibility in causing Jesus to death, and blamed the crowd instead. We can see from the passage that he was a governor who was irresponsible and crafty. He knew that Jesus had no sin. Then even when the crowd shouts that Jesus should be nailed on the cross without any clear evidence, then he should have clearly said no and should have judged correctly. But Pilate blamed this whole thing to the crowd and said that he has nothing to do for the price of the blood of Jesus. He claimed that he holds no responsibility in putting Jesus to death. He was washing his hands, but it does not mean that his sin would get wiped out by washing of the hands. Pilate tricked his own conscience. Conscience is God's gift to us, which God gave to human beings only. Even clever animals do not have conscience. Conscience allows people to know what is right and what is wrong. It is like a compass that helps us to look for God. If we live our lives according to the directions that our conscience points out to us, our hearts are at peace, joyous and happy. In contrast, if we do not act according to the directions that our conscience points out to us, then for some reason, our hearts are anxious and unsettled. A great writer, Dostoevsky, once said this: conscience is a voice of God, which remains and exists in the inner side of the human beings, Pilate denied the voice given from God. In other words, he did not respond correctly to the fact that Jesus had no sins. He rejected to hear the voice of God from his heart. He instead allowed himself to listen to the voice of unrighteous people that claimed that Jesus should be crucified on the cross. According to a folk tale, after Pilate judged Jesus, he was asked to leave from the seat of a governor. He was sent to a faraway place and near to the end of his life, he got mentally ill. According to this tale, Pilate put water onto the basin and always washed his hands. He mumbled these words to himself, "How come I have blood stains all over my hands?" He talked to himself. It is because without him realizing, the voice of conscience made him to suffer mentally. Conscience is one of the most important criteria in making a choice in our lives. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you choose, and how are you making your choices in your everyday lives? In our lives, there would be many instances when we would be put in a situation where we need to choose one between the two choices, from time to time and quite often. When we are put in these kinds of situations, between Barabbas and God, between the world and God, what would you choose? Are we not only longing to make benefits for ourselves? Are we not making a wrong choice just like Pilate? Are we not acting against our conscience and making a wrong choice? Especially in this time of Lent, according to the will of God, fix your eyes upon the Lord, who chose to die on the cross. I encourage and bless you all in Jesus' name, that you will come forward and closer to the throne of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.